Turn to Psalm 77, if you would. Psalm 77. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest my eyes waking. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths were also troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. The way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Good morning. Here in our weakness, you find us falling before your throne. You would turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Last week we looked at part of verse 16. We started verse 16. We looked at being as wise as serpents. Jesus is sending his apostles out, and we looked at that we are all teachers. God's people, and we need to understand that we're all discipling. What is the message of your discipling? You should, if you are one who has claimed to be saved, who knows the Lord, who has made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you claim to be a Christian. What are you saying about it? What are you telling everyone about what a Christian is? Well, the Lord gives his apostles a commission here. He tells him, behold, I send you forth. This is verse 16 of Matthew chapter 10. He says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And we kind of touched on that last week, but isn't that a strange thing? You can see wolves in the midst of sheep. You can see that taking place in nature, but for a sheep to go out in the midst of wolves, that's not seen very often. Well, but the Lord tells us this is what I send you forth to be, is sheep in the midst of wolves. And we looked at that, what these wolves were last week, and what it meant to be as wise as serpents. And this week we're going to look at being harmless as doves. It's very interesting. As we were driving into church this morning, and what a beautiful drive it was in. The sun was shining, and just the snow, a little bit of snow on the ground. And I say a little bit of snow. That was nice. You get too much snow, I don't know if we want that. But
The little bit of snow that we had on the ground, that was nice, and it made it everything kind of pretty. And sure enough, we were coming around a corner, and there sitting in the middle of the road was what looked like a dove. It looked like a dove to me. That's what Jessica said as soon as she saw it. She said, "Hey, it looks like a dove." And I said, "Yeah, that's what it looks like." So, and then it's very interesting. This is exactly what we're going to be looking at this morning, being as harmless as doves. But this word harmless here, if we were to break it down, it truly means innocent, to be as innocent as doves or simple as doves. Now, in the scripture, we see two ways that simple is used in the scripture. There is an ignorant simple, meaning that the simple-minded are ignorant of sin. They are ignorant of the way, very much ignorant of the holiness of God, or they have no fear of God before their eyes. And therefore, they are, in a way, innocent because they do not see their sin. They cannot see their sin. Their eyes have not been opened to it, and they cannot see it. We see this in the Proverbs. If you were to look into Proverbs chapter 7, you will see this simple one. That has no understanding, or he has no knowledge of sin. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, we see both simples in our own, right here. We see that there is much in us that doesn't. We do not see all of our sin. We don't. If we saw it all, it would drive us into despair. It would crush us under the weight of it. But God is merciful to us, and he shows us what we can bear, and he leads us to the cross by the power of the Spirit. We are led there, and we're going to look at that this morning. But there is another type of simple that's mentioned, and it's this simple that's spoken of here in this text that is united with being as wise as serpents. Now, when I say this, I'm saying as wise as serpents, we are those that see their sin. It has been revealed to us by an understanding of the holiness of God. And we see the holiness of God worked out on the cross of Calvary. We see Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who hung upon the cross of Calvary in his sinless perfection. He hung there and he bore the sins of his people, all of the sins and the transgressions, the iniquities of his people were laid upon the spotless Lamb of God on Calvary's cross. And on the cross, he became sin. He was made sin. He who knew no sin was made sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so we see on the cross, we see him bearing our sin, and we see the wrath of Almighty God falling upon him on the cross of Calvary. And those who are as wise as serpents, we know that that's our sin that put him there. It is our sin that put him on the cross of Calvary. And he hangs there in our stead, and we see that. And therefore, we come as ones who are as wise as serpents. Turn over to Genesis 3 for a minute. We looked at the first part of Genesis 3 last week, but I want to show you verses 14 and 15 this morning. Because we need to see this before we move on to harmless as doves, because it is coming to the cross in this being as wise as serpents that will reveal to us what it means to be as harmless as doves, and the going out from there. Verse 14 of Genesis chapter 3 says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above cattle and above every beast of the field." Now let's just stop there for a minute. We see the cattle. We see the beast of the field, and then we read that the serpent is cursed worse than them, or are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. This curse goes above that. And we see ourselves as wise as serpents. We understand ourselves bearing this the sins of this fallen man. We understand that the cattle is just, they're just going to die and they're going to go into the ground and they're going to become fertilizer. They no longer have, they don't have a soul. They don't have a never dying soul. Men have a never dying soul, see. And when you die, the curse is if you are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you die outside of him, you will die an eternal death. You will not just die and lie in the ground and like I said, become fertilizer. No, you have a never dying soul. You will live forever in that lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. That is the curse. And unless you're found in the Lord Jesus Christ, that will be your place for all of eternity. And so we understand that that is the curse of sin in our lives. And if, like I said, if we're sent, we must be found in Christ. We must be found in him. And he goes on and says, above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And so we see the serpent, we see him crawling around on the ground. And that's the only place he can be, is on the ground. Or maybe slithering around up in a tree. But that's, his belly will be upon the earth. Verse 15 says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And of course, we understand this. We see this as a prophecy of the seed, which is Jesus Christ will come, and he will crush the head of the serpent. He did this on the cross. And we see this fulfilled there. And we know this to be the case, but yet we also see this worked out in the world as just when we look at serpents, right? We see serpents crawling around upon the ground. We don't see them very often. And there's a reason for that. They're scared of us, aren't they? They're scared of us. Why? Why is a serpent scared of us? Well, we know the minute it shows itself, we're going to crush it. We're going to step on its head unless a man is around that says, no, wait a minute. Don't hurt that snake. If it's not a dangerous snake, if it's not a poisonous snake, don't hurt it because it's going to kill a lot of rodents and we want to keep it around. But the woman sees it. What happens? Step on that thing. Get rid of it. And how do we kill a snake? How do we kill a serpent? How do you do that? Well, you're not going to beat it in the back end, are you? You're not going to whack off its tail to kill it. You're going to hit it in the head. You're going to crush its head. That's what you're going to do. I grew up in Montana, and in Montana we had quite a few rattlesnakes, and we didn't see a lot of them because you hurt them first, and when you hurt them, you got away from them. Sarah about stepped on one time. Long story, but yeah, she about stepped on one time. When you hear them, you will get away from them. But yet, you see, in the westerns. What happens? The minute a rattlesnake is seen, what happens? You got three guys pulling their guns out and blowing it to bits. I was just thinking about that this morning when I was thinking about that. What would it be if that's the way we were about sin in our lives? The moment we spotted it, the moment it reared its head in our lives, the moment we laid eyes upon it, that we would desire to get rid of it. That we would desire for its head to be crushed in our lives. Wouldn't that be something? But yet here's this serpent. And the one thing about a serpent, you don't see it very often. You don't. And so if we're as wise as serpents, and that's all we are, then I will guess that our witness will not be a very good one. Because 9 times out of 10, we'll be just like that serpent, and we'll be hiding ourselves. We'll be hiding away. We'll know the dangers that's out there. We will know sin. We will know the enemy is outside the door. There's a lion in the streets, and we're not going to get out. We're not going to go out into this world. We're not going to share the gospel if we're just as wise as serpents. We're going to hide ourselves. But the Lord doesn't leave us there. He doesn't leave his apostles there. He doesn't say we're just to be as wise as serpents. But he goes on and he says, you are to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. As harmless as doves. And if you see the difference between the two of these, the serpent and the dove, it's like we were talking about last week. We looked at the opposites that are found at the cross. We see the Jew and the Greek, right? We looked at the differences between the two, and yet they, at the cross, Brother Mike, I was talking with him this week, and he was talking about that old song, that the ground is level at the cross. And it truly is. There is no difference between men. They've all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we see these opposites finding themselves at the cross. And it's an understanding of the legality seeing their anti-law. And this anti-law seeing the legality of that. And finding they're all in Christ. And He is our righteousness. He is our hope. He is our all and in all. And so we see this serpent and this dove. And it's just a very it's something we just can't wrap our minds around. How are we to be both? How can we possibly be both? How can this serpent who is going around in the dust of the earth, eating the very dirt of the earth, and how it is that we crawl to the cross. We just read it, didn't we? We just read it in that song that was sung. And in our weakness, we come before the throne, and we come prostrate before the cross of Christ, and yet that serpent can be made a dove. Can be made a dove. How does this happen? How can this serpent who is guilty become pure? How can God, who said, "I will in no wise clear the guilty," how can He clear those that are proven sinners in their own eyes? Well, turn over, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 10. And I want us to see this because it's very important if in our witness and testimony to those around us, in our witness of the gospel in our lives, that we have a pure conscience. This is very, very important. And I want us to see this. We're going to look a little bit here this morning at our consciences being in our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. All right? Starting with verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 10, the word says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Now let me just say this. If you are in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God does not see your sin. He does not see your sin. Why? It says right here, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." They are put away. They are purged. They are gone. They are gone. Listen to verse 18. "Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Christ Jesus offered up His blood once on the cross of Calvary, and that was a perfect offering for His people. It perfectly purged and put away the sins of His people." They're gone. They're gone. Now that is not saying that we do not see our sin. Oh, how we see our sin. And the working of the Holy Spirit through the Word, the written Word of God. And we see in the Word and it convicts us. It's that sword that pierces us and reveals to us what we are. And we become, by the power of the Spirit, on the way to the cross, as wise as serpents. We come to an understanding of sin. We know what sin is. And we by grace, hate it. Hate it. Want to get rid of it. Want to have it off of us. We desire to be rid of it completely. Do we not wait for that day and long for that day when we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and he's going to come in all of his glory and we will stand before him and we'll see him as he is and we'll be just like him. Just like without spot, without blemish. Oh, how we long for that day. And so we understand that was a perfect sacrifice. It was a perfect offering. All of the offerings that were offered in the Old Testament by the priests, by the high priest, all of these typified that one perfect offering that would be done upon the cross of Calvary by the Lord Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood. And it was perfect. Perfect. Verse 19 goes on, says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. See, we must enter into the Holy of Holies. In the Old Testament, when you see once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and offer up a sacrifice. He would take the blood and he would put it upon the mercy seat. And this going in typified the Lord Jesus Christ that one time. But yet this was, so no one else could go in. No one else but the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. He couldn't do it. In fact, on that day, they would put bells upon him, and he would walk in, and if the bells were to quit ringing, or the bells were to quit jingling around, they would know something was wrong. And if he didn't come out, they had a rope tied around him, and they could pull him out of there, because no one was going in there but the high priest. Nobody. Oh, that we thought as much about God and the holiness of God. That the fear of God would be before our eyes, that we would understand something about the holy, holy, holy that God is. That the Lord would open our eyes to it and see it, and it would permeate our lives. But we have boldness to enter. How? How can we now enter? This is why we talk about pressing into prayer or pressing into the preaching of the gospel, or pressing into the duties, the reading of scripture. What are we doing? We're entering into the Holy of Holies. We listen for Christ. We listen for him because it is by him and by his blood that we enter into the Holy of Holies. Oh, that we would see the value and the preciousness of the blood of Jesus Christ in our lives. Verse 20, by a new and living way, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, the body of Christ. Oh, that we would understand something about what this means. We see so much blasphemy. If you look at the Catholic Church, and if you see all of the types in the Catholic Church, and you were to listen to some of the things that they do, you would see that there's so much of worshiping of the types in the Catholic Church, and the blasphemy of it. It is blasphemy what they're doing. They will come and they will come and they will sit in a confessional booth and they will have a veil between them and their priest. Okay, they will come in and they will sit down and they will say, "Father, forgive me, for I've sinned." This says, "By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil." That is to say, his flesh. Jesus Christ is how we enter in. Jesus Christ is that one that prays for us, that makes intercession for us. These people are sitting down and they're talking to a man. And they call him Father. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. Jesus said, call no man father. And that's the way he meant. Don't call him father in that way. You have one father, and that's God. And all that we would see, that so many of these types that you see, that we see in the Catholic Church, what blasphemy it is. And we see much in much religion, this blasphemy. Verse 21 goes on, it says, and having a high priest over the house of God. Who is that high priest? It's Jesus. Jesus is our high priest. And he is over the house of God. You know, I was thinking about how that the Catholic Church in their worship of the cross, okay? And I'm just talking about the worship of the cross. And it's become to them mystical, magical. It's superstition. They've got crosses everywhere. They've got crosses hanging around their neck. They've got crosses on their car mirrors. They got crosses everywhere. And the reason for that is because it's some superstitious thing that's going to keep them from bad things happening to them. That's what they're all about. It's blasphemy. But their irreverence for the cross has come over into really the Protestant church. And now what do we do with the cross? Well, a lot of times we put it out. We won't have them around. Why is there a cross over a church? If you were to look at a church and you were to see a door going into a church and then you look up and there's a cross up there. Why do you think that's like that? Well, because Jesus is the door. And where you're going to find him is at the cross. And if you're going to enter into him, if you're going to truly enter into the church and truly enter into worship, you're going to have to enter in through the door, which is Jesus Christ, the righteous one, on the cross of Calvary. Oh, that we would see these things. Having a high priest over the house of God. Verse 22 goes on. It says, let us draw near with a true heart. A true heart, a pure heart. Now, how's this serpent going to have a pure heart? How's he going to get a true heart, one that is without guile? In full assurance of faith. Full assurance. How can this serpent, this one that is on the ground before the cross, who sees his sin, who sees his wretched condition, who knows what he is. So often I think when we talk about sin, we say, yeah, I see it. It's all around us. Is that the way we talk of sin? It's everywhere. We can see it all around. And yes, we do. We see it everywhere. We can truly see it in this country. We see this country run truly by sin. But what do we mean by that when we say we see it all around us? See, we can see with these eyes. And when we look out, we see sin. But I would ask this, do we look with spiritual eyes? Do we look from the very soul? Do we look from that holy of holies where Jesus Christ, the righteous one, sits upon the throne of our heart? And by his eyes, do we look out and we see sin all around us? In other words, it's this flesh, this wretched man that I am. Do we see that? So how is it that we can have a true heart? How is it that we can have full assurance of faith? Listen to what it says next. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Sprinkled by what? Sprinkled by the blood of Jesus. How can we have hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience? What is the conscience anyway? Do we know anything about the conscience? Do we even think about that? in the book of 1 Timothy, I believe it's chapter 4, verse 2, it talks about these men who are deceitful and they lie and they have their consciences seared as with a hot iron. When we think about this conscience, when we think about this searing of the conscience, what would that be? How would that look? Well, would it not be seen in our lives as a making excuse or a self-justification for sin? Would it be a lack of faith that we do not truly believe that this sin, that it cannot be put away by the blood of Christ? And so we self-justify these things and our conscience is seared. There's the Romans chapter 3 said the poison of asps is under their lips, meaning that it's hid. You see, he also goes on in Romans chapter 3 and says their mouth is an open sepulcher, meaning that if you were to be able to see into their mouth, you would see the lies and the hypocrisy and the sin. And they've hidden this under their lips. It's hidden. The poison of asps is hidden. We need to get rid of that. We need to get rid of it. How do you get rid of that? How do you get rid of it? Well, I will tell you this. You got to quit making excuses for it. You got to quit lying about it. You got to quit self-justifying it. You got to quit that. See, if you keep doing that, it's like a searing it with a hot iron, and you just keep putting it back and denying it. There's no peace in that. You must know peace. You must have peace in your life. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, Isaiah begins the chapter and he says, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Where does that take place? Where did that take place? He saw Jesus on the cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must also the Son of Man be lifted up. He saw him on the cross. And in John 17, verse 1, Jesus said, glorify the Son. Glorify the Son. What's he saying there? He's praying to his Father that the Son might be glorified, might be lifted up. He's praying that the Father would reveal his love in him by putting him on the cross of Calvary. Oh, the amazing love that God has for his people, that Jesus had for his people, that he would pray to that end, that he would be that one that would reveal to his people, the love of God. And he goes on and he says there in verse 1 of chapter 17, that the Father might be glorified. That the Father might be revealed, that the love of God would be shown on the cross of Calvary. Oh, Isaiah saw him high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, his glory. When you think of a train, you would think of the robe that a king would wear. And Isaiah saw him and he saw his kingly robe. It shows the mockery of Herod when he put on that purple robe upon him and all of the soldiers were mocking him and bowing down to him. They saw no robe. They gave him some earthly robe. What does God's people see? We see his kingly robe. We see his greatness. So I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. He saw the angels and the seraphs covering their eyes. Can you imagine what the angels saw when Christ was crucified on the cross? They saw exactly what was taking place. They knew what was going on. The Son of Righteousness is getting crucified by these wicked hands. Oh, the veiling of their faces. They couldn't even look upon it. And what did Isaiah say? You remember what he said? He said, woe is me. Woe is me. I am a man of what? Of unclean lips. What took place there? What happened at the cross? What happened? Well, that poison of asps that was behind his lips, that had been covered up, that had been put back, see, and denial and lying and deceit, he saw it. And it came forth and it was on his lips, you see. This is true confession of sin before God. This must take place in the lives of God's people. If you're going to have a pure heart and a pure conscience, you must go to God. It is before thee and thee only that I've sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that I might be justified when thou judgest me. Oh, that we would understand something about that we must go to the cross of Calvary and our mouths must be opened in confession before him. And when that takes place, by his grace, that's the working of the Spirit. Because if the Spirit leads you to the cross, if the Spirit makes you as wise as a serpent, if you come before him prostrate on the ground, in the dust, knowing what you are, oh God, the Holy Spirit will not leave you there. He'll show you Christ. He'll be revealed to you. And all these things that we've been hiding will come forth before him. And we will see that taken away, you see. He is faithful. He is faithful. He'll take it. We'll see them put upon him on the cross of Calvary. And all the pureness of the conscience then, you see. And this is how we are to be as harmless as doves, as simple as doves, as innocent as doves, as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves, you see. I tell you, if we're not, we're not going to go out in this world. You know why? Because everybody we look at, we're going to be looking at him out of the corner of our eyes. You know why? Because that's the way you look at everybody. Why? Why do you do that? I'll tell you why we do it. It's because we're judging everybody and they're judging us. That's the way we would go out in the world and witness to those around us. We would go out judging everyone and everybody's judging us. We must be pure of heart. We must go to the cross of Calvary. We must see our sin there. We must see it put away. We must be pronounced spotless and righteous by the Father. See? Are your sins put away? Are they put away? Do you know them to be put away? Do you know your sin? Has it been revealed to you? Have you ever been to the cross on your belly? Have you ever been there? Oh, I tell you, it's a good place to be. It's a good place to be because when we truly see the blood of Christ sprinkled, when our consciences truly are sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ, I tell you, every one of us are going to be out running around telling people about the beauty of our Savior and the peace that passeth all understanding that we have in God. Oh my. Although we would know something of this. See, that's full assurance of faith. That's full assurance of faith. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our bodies washed with pure water. Oh, that we would stand under that fount that flows from the side of Jesus. And we'll be washed. We would be washed. We pray for the Spirit to work. We pray for him to work. We pray for him to be here in this place. That's what we're praying for. That's what we're praying for. We're praying that his people would be led to the cross of Calvary. And that we would have this pure conscience before a dying world. Before a dying world. And this is a dying daily. Have you often wondered about what we're talking about or what people talk about when they say we've got our feet dirty? We walk through this world and we got our feet dirty. Oh my. Oh my, do we see it? Do we see the dirt? Do we see the wretchedness? Do we see it? When we talk to people, do we hear the pride come forth from our mouth? That's the Spirit's work. That's the Spirit's work. When we're talking one with another and enmity rises up within us, contention rises up within us, do we see it? Do we see it? Do we run to Him? Do we confess it before Him? Verse 23, listen to this. I'm just going to read down through verse 25. I want us to think about this. Next week, by His grace, we're going to look at the birth of Christ and this miraculous, precious thing. But verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." See, this is how God works in his body, in His people. And when we see Isaiah, you remember that angel took the live coal off the altar and it put it upon his lips. And he says, "Your sins have been purged. They've been purged. They've been put away." And you remember the voice that came. And he said, "Who will go? Who will go?" And I says, "I will. I will. Send me. Send me." And all that we would go into this new year, we would go in that way. That we would go as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves, and we would know what that means. We would know what it means. And that we might go out in this world and be able to tell others about it. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing these old serpents can be as harmless as doves? Oh, Lord bless.